This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later, your thoughts on the biggest science issues facing President-elect Obama. But first, one of the top science issues for the next president is, without doubt, clean energy and sustainability. And a new open-access online journal published by the American Institute of Physics covers it all, from wind turbines to tidal power, hydrogen technology to geothermal heat pumps. The first issue of the Journal of Renewable and Sustainable Energy came out this week. One of the papers in the debut issue describes a tiny solar array smaller than a fingernail. Wow. It's made from carbon-based polymers. And these aren't your father's solar cells. You don't put these on your house or your car. And they're actually serving as a power supply for tiny microsensors like nanoscale devices used to detect, well, dangerous chemicals, so to speak. Joining me now to talk more about the new Energy Journal and the miniature solar technology is my guest, Craig Taylor. He's one of the editors of the Journal of Renewable and Sustainable Energy. He's also professor of physics at Colorado School of Mines and associate director of the Colorado Energy Research Institute in Golden, Colorado. He joins us from Golden. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much.
It's interesting that I imagine there are going to be a lot of sort of new kinds of alternative energy devices showing up.
We certainly hope so. We're looking forward to publishing a lot of papers like the one you just mentioned.
Where can we find your paper online now?
If you go to jrse.aip.org.
Mm-hmm. Give us an idea of the range of the kinds of stuff you're going to be covering in the journal.
Well, as you mentioned in your introduction, we're covering bioenergy, bioreactions and bioengineering. We're covering geothermal energy, marine energy, that is waves and things like that, and hydroelectric power from dams. We're actually covering nuclear energy, which is not strictly renewable, but certainly can be sustainable for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Solar energy, you mentioned, solar cells and solar thermal devices, energy from wind turbines, the conversion of energy by using, for example, fuel cells to produce hydrogen. Energy efficiency is really important, so energy-efficient buildings we'll cover. We'll cover storage. That's incredibly important for those forms of energy that vary with time, like solar energy and wind energy. Then we cover power distribution. And resource assessment is also important. Where does the sun shine the best, and so on. Transportation, that is clean ways of improving transportation. Mm-hmm. So a very, very wide range of topics.
Our number 1-800-989-8255. The phones are wide open. We're also frittering. You can get us at SciFritter. If you want to Twitter with us, you can go write the @ followed by SciFritter, SciFritter, and we can become a fritter for you, and we can tweet, as they say. Do you know what that's about, Greg?
No.
It's a new way of communicating, people telling each other about stuff that's going on, and it's the hottest rage, supposedly taking over blogging these days.
Wow. Well, I guess that shows you how old I am.
You better get it for your new journal. I mean, is this a journal that the lay people can read, or is it aimed at science, real science geeks?
It's definitely aimed at real scientists and engineers, but we hope to publish some review articles that might be understandable reasonably well by the general public.
Mm-hmm. And this is a good time for this kind of journal, is it not?
Well, we hope so. We're certainly counting on it. The difficulty with anything to do with renewable energy is that all of the problems are so interdisciplinary that you need to cover a wide range of topics in order to make progress.
Mm-hmm. And how many entries are they coming in, or are you just starting out so you don't have a whole lot to choose from?
Well, right as of now, we have over 50 in the pipeline. There are only a couple up on the public website right now, but they'll be coming up very quickly in the future.
Let's talk about one of those, and that is those miniature organic solar cells in the first issue. Tell us what they are and how small they are. And on your webpage, you say that they're the size of a circle, the O in the paper page.
that's right. This is a very interesting application of photovoltaics that I, quite frankly, never would have thought of, but it's, as you said, the use of solar cells to power very small micro-mechanical devices. And probably the most used device of this type is the accelerometer that's in your car to drive the airbags. So it senses very rapid deceleration, and that's a micro-electromechanical machine. But, of course, it's run off the electrical power of your car.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be a way of actually powering such devices in maybe a hostile environment where you're looking for chemicals in a smokestack or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Describe the cell to us.
Okay. It well, it's a cell that uses organics. So it uses polymers mixed with a very small group of atoms of carbon known as carbon 60.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes called a
buckyball.
Buckyball, that's
yeah.
Right, because it has the Buckminster Fullerene geodesic dome structure.
So you have the polymers mixed in with buckyballs.
Right. And then you can, the light gets absorbed in this material and it generates electrons. It also generates the absence of electrons, which is holes.
Mm-hmm.
And then these are collected at the opposite electrodes and create a current.
And how much current and how much voltage, wattage?
The current is very, very minimal. A few microamps is all that's necessary because these devices are very, very small. The difficulty, and I thought it was very interesting that these people were able to make some progress on it, the difficulty is in voltage. These devices typically need a very large voltage, so order of 10 volts, for example.
Wow.
And, of course, most electronic devices work at lower voltages.
That's like four batteries.
Yes, that's right, but you don't need much current. So this initial device, I think, produced around 8 volts. And the way they do that is they string the cells in series.
Yeah,
to increase the voltage.
And so this might be used. I understand that the Department of Defense is invested heavily in this project, and they see it as being out. There's a lot of sunlight over there where we have the military.
That's right.
And then why not take advantage of it?
Well, that's right. And they're interested in larger areas, but they're interested in flexible substrates so you can wear it on your clothes and things of that sort.
So you can go out in the field and power, I guess will be the uniform of tomorrow or actually of today, because we know batteries are in great premium over where we're fighting.
That's right. And they're not very environmentally friendly either,
mm-hmm.
most of them.
And how close is something like this to actually being made, to reality, or is it just sort of an idea?
I would have to say it's quite a few years away from any useful production. The reason is that they produce the cell that is about 2 square centimeters, so maybe a thumbnail or two.
Mm-hmm.
They hope to produce cells as small as a hundredth of a millimeter.
Right.
So they have a long way to go when it comes to the area.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking that your journal then will become like an incubator for ideas like this.
That's what we hope. And we also hope that people who need to know something about solar cells, but they're experts in, for example, fluctuating power or inverters or something very different, wind turbines, can go to our journal and read what they need to know from other fields.
And you decided to make it open access.
That's correct, at least for the first year. In fact, we are hoping to keep it open access forever. That depends on whether or not we can get enough underwriters on our site, people who care about renewable energy, companies that care about renewable energy.
And that means that if I like an idea that I see there, I cannot take a patent out on it or call it my own intellectual property.
That's correct.
And anybody can you go into this, if you publish in your magazine, knowing that this is going to be freely available for other people to use.
Well, that's right. But, of course, you can patent an idea from any open access journal if you file a patent ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. And how many subscribe? Do you have to subscribe to this, or do you have
no,
to?
No, we don't have a subscription base, and we hope not to have a subscription base. So you can go to this website and look at the articles. Go to the website and submit a paper.
Mm-hmm. And who referees these papers?
Well, that's been a tough task for us because it's such an interdisciplinary journal that we're working very, very hard at at getting a referee base. In fact, if there are any listeners out there who'd like to help us, we'd love to love to put them on our list. These would be scientists who are peers in the particular field.
Well, you know, it looks, it reminds me of a place, you know, in the old days they used to have the water cooler or the coffee pot where people of different interests and disciplines could come together and schmooze and trade ideas. And where they might not have come before, and actually come, somebody else might come away. Hey, I heard Joe say something. You know, that gives me an idea how to work on something.
That's right. That's right. It's kind of an electronic coffee room.
Because everybody's sitting by their desk these days, and no one's. You know, we used to have people get up and leave and do stuff, but now everybody's at their desk, so they're on a virtual water cooler.
Right.
Which is the internet.
That's right. That's right. And it is it's a new venture, even for the American Institute of Physics. I think we're only the third. Entirely online journal that they've established, but we're really hoping that it'll work.
And how often will the publications come out? New there in a week, a month, or
for the first year it'll come out every 2 months. We are really focusing on quality. The American Institute of Physics is a world class publisher, and the quality is just very, very important for all of their journals. So we'll start small, every 2 months, and we hope after the first year to have an issue come out every month.
And so we you're inviting people to come to your website and have a read.
Absolutely. Send us a paper.
Okay. and you've got us going with the paper already. Thank you, Craig.
You're welcome.
Craig Taylor is one of the editors of the New Journal of Renewable and Sustainable Energy. And, of course, he must have a daytime job. He's also professor of physics at the Colorado School of Mines and associate director of the Colorado Energy Research Institute in Golden, Colorado. We're going to take a break, switch gears. When we come back, we're going to talk about... a new kind of, MIT kids, these whiz kids at MIT, they always have kinds of new projects. We have a new project going on up there, a new jamboree that you may be interested in that has to do with, all kinds of genetic engineering sorts of things. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.